23 minutes after the hour on a Transcendent Tuesday. David is here. David's up there in East Dakota and comfortably ensconced behind the news desk in his soft brown Corinthian leather-covered news chair, the one that goes up and down and round and round. And joining us from Garden Valley, from the beautiful vineyards of Valle della Pace. It sounds like you're in Italy, Don, when I do that. Garden Valley.
Oh, yeah. You pronounced it correctly. That's the main thing. Absolutely.
Just a taste of Tuscany from the heart of Texas. That's what it is, Don's Wines. And we've enjoyed that. David and I, we haven't had any lately, though. Have we, David?
Well, I had some.
Did you?
About 2 weeks ago.
Oh, okay. All right.
About two, three weeks.
We've gone through our reserves, so we'll have to talk Don again. Don is a biochemist, a member of the Board of Creation Moments, and as we mentioned, a vintner as well from Garden Valley, just about 90 miles east of Dallas there. And we typically talk about the biblical story of creation, and we talk about the science behind it. There is science, and there is history behind it. And it's fascinating. And for a couple of weeks now, Don has been saying, we need to talk about Pangaea. We need to talk about Pangaea. We've mentioned it in past broadcasts, but I don't know that we've ever presented the whole story as it's represented in Genesis and elsewhere. Don, what are your sources for this information on Pangaea? I imagine Genesis is the center of it all. But where else do we gather information on Pangaea, this supercontinent?
Oh, well, from geologists, of course, the whole theory of continents adrift started with a geologist saying that, it looks like all of our continents were one landmass because they fit together like a puzzle. And indeed, if you move them, together, you will see that, yes, okay, they do seem to fit together like a puzzle. But then if you actually look at the layers in the various continents, you can fit Americas with Europe, for example, North America and Canada with Europe.
You're talking about soil types now, right? Characteristics of the soil layers, yeah.
Yes, so the different soil types, the different layers that one runs into, and I think a couple of podcasts ago we talked about how one soil type was went over most of the United States, and it goes over most of Europe, and it's the same level layers in both places. And so by doing those type of things, you can say, well, these continents must have been together. And indeed, that does appear to be the case. And at some point in time in history, the continents broke up. So the question that I posed last time was, why did God feel it necessary to break up the continents, to break up Pangaea into the continents that we have today? So that was the mystery question. And so we're going to...
Well, nothing happens by accident. We've learned that nothing happens accidentally.
And as I remember, yes. you looked out across the hinterlands and looked at the two co-hosted on the program, and you got nothing but blank stares.
That's good.
That's right.
Been known to happen, yeah.
Yes. Okay.
You realized how big a numbskulls you're working with here.
Well, that's okay. I mean, it's, one would say, well, this is a pretty far stretch, but I don't think so, because here is what was happening. So, I think there's enough evidence to say that, the continents broke up at the time of the flood. And we're going to delve into the book of Jasher, or Jasher, it's Jasher, a little bit, because that gives us a little bit more information. It kind of parallels Genesis, and it gives us a little bit more information, more descriptive information, than what you find in Genesis.
And then just for those who are not aware of the book of Jasher or Jasher, it's not in the Bible. It's extra-biblical, but it's referenced in the Bible. And if you look it up, you can find it online and read it. Probably buy it in book form, too, if you'd like. But there's some fascinating information in there, Don.
There is. But before we jump there, let's jump to chapter 6 of Genesis, which we've covered it before. But this, I want to highlight certain passages in it. And this chapter 6, verse 1 says, when man began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born of them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of man were attractive, and they took as their wives any they chose. Okay, so we talked about the sons of God, that's a reference to angels, in this case, obviously fallen angels, that they left their abode, which was heaven, or particularly second heaven, not the third heaven, but they left their abode, and they came down and took for themselves wives. The next verse is, which is the important one, it says, now, then the Lord said, my spirit shall not abide in man forever, for he is flesh, and his days shall be 120 days. And the Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterwards, when the sons of God came to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. They were the mighty men of old, the men of renown. And God, and this is the most important part of this verse that I wanted to get to. The Lord said that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously. Now, you may recall from earlier in Genesis, actually right after God made Adam and Eve, he tells them to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And and he also tells, Noah that after the flood, and they come out of the flood, it'd be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And of course, they don't do that. They went to the plains of Shinar and built the tower, and all the peoples were gathered together. So God had to confuse their language to disperse man across the earth. Why then do we have this point here that before the flood, man's thoughts were continuously evil, and God says, I'm not going to strive with man, very much longer. His days are 120, and we're basically going to wipe man out. Is what God is saying. Now, if we jump now over to the book of Yasher and we kind of read a similar section there, this now is in chapter 5, verse 5, it starts, and all who followed the Lord died in those days before they saw the evil which God declared to do upon the earth. And after the lapse of many years, in the 480th year of Noah, when all of those men who followed the Lord had died away from amongst his sons of man, only Methuselah was then left. And God said unto Noah and Methuselah, saying, so God is telling Noah and Methuselah to say, speak ye and proclaim to the sons of man, saying, thus says the Lord, return from your evil ways, forsake your works, and the Lord will repent, or that is, turn away from the evil that he declared to do to you. so that it shall not come to pass. So the evil was going to be the flood that was coming onto the earth, and God saying, tell the people, basically, Methuselah and Noah were preaching for 120 years before the flood, saying to repent from your sins and repent from your ways, and God won't cause this thing to happen upon the earth. But so they of course, people do not repent, and then the flood actually comes, and then in the book of Yasher at the book of Jasher, chapter 6, and this is describing when the flood was starting, and it says, on that day the Lord caused the whole earth to shake, and the sun darkened, and the foundations of the world raged, and the whole earth was moved violently, and the lightning flanked, and the thunders roared, and all the fountains of the earth were broken up, such as was not known to the inhabitants before. And God did this mighty act in order to terrify the sons of man, that they might be no more evil upon the earth.
And incidentally, now, I want to mention here that if you go to brokenworldradio.com, in the chat window there is a link to the book of Jasher, and you can select the chapter that you want to read. It'll pop right up on your screen. So just a side note there. It's available at brokenworldradio.com in the chat window. Okay.
All righty. Well, good. And then, of course, that was verse 11. And chapter 6, verse 12 of the book of Yasher, it says, and still the sons of man would not return from their evil ways, and they increased the anger of the Lord at the time, and did not even direct their hearts to all this. So they wouldn't even consider it, these folks that were evil. I mean, so they were being preached to by Methuselah and Noah. I mean, the parallels to Revelation are just phenomenal. All right, so you have these two witnesses before God's wrath comes upon the earth, right?
Mm.
And so we have two witnesses in Revelation as well, right? We have Elijah and Moses that will be in the city of Jerusalem that kind of doing the same thing, repent, repent. And, mm-hmm. of course, they don't repent. And just as it says here, the men would not return to their from their evil ways, so shall it be at the end of the of this age, if you will, as well. Men just refuse to repent, even though God gives man the opportunity over and over and over again to repent before his wrath is poured out. Okay, so a couple of things in verse 11. Well, the sun darkened. All right, so the whole earth shook. Now, this was about a week before the actual flood starts. So the whole earth is shaking. Well, why would the earth be shaking? Well, of course, you've got earthquakes. You know, you should bring to mind that, you know, you have earthquakes, and the sun darkened, and the foundations of the world raged. So why did the sun darken? Well, the sun's going to darken if you have volcanic activity that's throwing things up in the air and darkening the sun. So it's darkening the sun. It's obviously darkening the moon, and the foundations of the world are raging, and the whole earth was moved violently. So tremendous earthquakes are taking place right before the flood is occurring. And I believe, as many others do too, that this is when Pangaea actually broke up, started to break up, right here described in the book of Jasher, chapter 6. So why did God's wrath come upon the people, and why was the earth broken up? Well, the earth was broken up because man's hearts were continuously evil. Man would not repent from doing evil, and so God's wrath was poured out upon the earth. The earth was broken up, and now let's see, after the earth is broken up into pieces, of course, then you have the flood, which we've talked about before, and after about a year, for example, you had Nimrod, who was turning man's hearts away from God, and built this big tower up to heaven so that he could declare himself to be God, is the impression. And you get more information on Nimrod even in the book of Yasher than you do in Genesis. And these things are happening, but the fact remains that people gathered together. And when the people gathered together into one spot or into one area, the evil seemed to increase rapidly when they did that. Examples that we have, right here in the Bible, in the book of Yasher, they're more inclined to be more evil, because you've got neighbors around you. If they're evil, then they're doing evil things. You see that, and you start doing evil things, and pretty soon everybody's doing evil things. Which now brings us to the point as to why mm-hmm. God broke up the land.
Yeah.
So we know at the time of the Tower of Babel that God says we need to go down, we need to do something about this, because here it is, not that much longer after God poured out his wrath upon all of the earth, and every living creature on the face of the earth died except for those 8 people and the animals that were on the ark. God basically was saying he was going to wipe out all of his creation and kind of start over. But then Noah found favor, in his sight, because there was very few on the earth at that time who were following God, essentially. And so you have this being played out. God then comes down, disperses the peoples because of confusing the language. They couldn't work together to build the tower up to heaven anymore. And they wound up dispersing according to their language group, which was probably their family groups. And they wound up dispersing across the land.
Well, we know that there were clans and clan leaders, and many of the places where those clans settled became known by the name of the clan.
Absolutely. And so you had, for example, the sons of Japheth, who migrated north into the Europe area, and up into, the Russia and ultimately and England and various places like that, Germany. Ham, the descendants of Ham, went to obviously to Africa, but they also went south over to Asia, and eventually some of the Japhites went over to Asia as well. And of course, you had the Shem, which was the godly line, if you will, in quotes, that stayed in the Middle East and migrated a little bit from that area, but basically stayed in the Middle East. But the point being that God dispersed the people. I mean, they weren't doing it on their own because of the evilness in their hearts, but he dispersed the people. It's kind of the same reason why after Adam and Eve send, God said he cursed the land so that Adam, and of course his descendants, would have to work in order to get their bread. I mean, no longer are you just going to tend the garden with a little, little rake and rake some leaves every now and then. You have to actually work hard and clear out the thorns and the thistles that are there that are going to poke you in order to make a living, in order to actually get your food. And it was all to preserve man for a longer period of time.
That's the key point in this whole thing, because we would have destroyed ourselves had that not happened.
Exactly. Exactly. And so God, in his mercy, everything that God does, it's out of his mercy, for man, and his mercy to have man live on this earth as long as possible, so that we don't destroy ourselves, we don't come together and destroy ourselves. So he dispersed man upon the earth, and of course, after the flood, and probably several hundred years after the flood, of course, we know that there was a land bridge that connected, North America with Asia, and so people could migrate from the Asian northern route over to the Americas, and we know that people did. And then, of course, we don't have that landmass today, but we have evidence of a shallow part in the seas, if you will, where that landmass was. And we also know, that because of animal migration, because everything had to migrate from the where Noah's Ark actually landed on the earth. Everything had to migrate from that. The man and animals and everything. And we know where man came from, because he came from the plains of Shinar and the Tower of Babel. But the animals dispersed as soon as they got out of the ark to various parts of the land. So, man is dispersed across the land, and now we have a physical barrier, right? We've got physical barriers between these land masses, between these continents, so that it's not as easy. Matter of fact, it took quite a number of years after the flood for man to even discover that there were other land masses.
Yeah, give us a quick view of the timeline here. So there was the flood. The flood ended. There was the Tower at Babel. We're talking about a few years for the people to gather on the plain of Shinar and start my point is the continents were still close together at that point.
They were close together, starting to obviously drift apart because post flood, and we talked about
there were ramifications of the flood itself. The rain stopped after 100 days, and then they found dry land, but there were still geological happenings going on all around the earth. It was not static at the time.
Oh no, it was quite dynamic, matter of fact, because these land masses were moving away from each other. Volcanic activity was tremendous, and it came probably in waves, which then put a lot of dust in the earth, in the atmosphere, and because the waters were warm, that pumped a lot of moisture into the atmosphere, which then caused the ice age, or the ice ages during that time. It wasn't millions and millions of years ago. It was at the time of the flood. So if you're looking at the panorama of history here, you start off with the creation of Adam and Eve, the creation of the earth and Adam and Eve and everything. And then you have the flood, which was about 1,500, 1,600 years post-creation. So it didn't take long after the fall for man to get into such a state that his heart is the heart, the his, you know, only thought of himself and his thoughts were evil continuously. Then the flood takes place. It was probably 100 years or so, maybe less, that the Tower of Babel, because you had the eight. Mm-hmm. You had the eight that came out of the, and they probably, maybe they were pregnant at the time, who knows.
We talked about that, and the likelihood was that there were babies born on the ark.
Yes, probably.
And that Noah was still alive. Noah lived for what, 600 years? Was it 600? So would he have seen the Tower of Babel or Babel?
He probably would have. Mm-hmm. But he was the patriarch at the time. You know, he was the guy.
He would have been very venerated, I would think, yeah.
Yeah, because Methuselah died the year of the flood. When Methuselah died, that was the end. You know, mm-hmm. His judgment came. That's what his name means. Mm-hmm. And we're not talking a very long time. After the flood, that we had the Tower of Babel. And then, so maybe 100 years, maybe. 200 years, okay. something like that. And then the peoples are dispersed across the face of the earth. And now the Ice Age is thought to have lasted probably 500 to 700 years in that time frame. So things were still quite cold when mm-hmm. man was being dispersed. And we have evidence of that. The Neanderthal man who were just early men that that migrated to to Germany and that those places, and of course they built caves and they wore skins and all this other stuff because it was cold. And
I've got a question for you. So God broke up the continents to protect us from ourselves, to separate us so that we couldn't destroy each other quickly. He bought us time. Now we've spread over the earth. We have supersonic missiles and airplanes and transportation and communications. Where do we go now?
Well, that's the thing. Where we go is into Revelation. Right, because we are being set up, and if you listen to some of these folks that are rioting, listen to their words. I mean, they want the police dead. They want. I mean, it's they are cursing Jesus. It's like, oh my goodness, we are closer to the end than I had thought, but. I mean, now it's only a small group of people compared to the population, of the United States or the population of the earth. But imagine that multiplying throughout man's civilization. And when we get to that point, the end is here.
Kind of like a virus, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Evil spreads like quickly. A disease. Don Clark, a member of the board of Creation Moments. CreationMoments.com is their website. I want to mention that to you so you can check that out. Also, we'll have this podcast up on the Broken Road Radio site a little bit later today, along with some links to the Book of Jasher, which has in itself a fascinating history. I want to research some of that. So, Don, thank you so much. Great information. We can pick this up next week, or who knows where we'll go. But we better do it quick, I guess. Huh? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, who knows?
See ya.
Everybody, so long.